Since you've known God, He's opened prison doors. Since you've known God, He's given you support, a place to live, taking care of things. My gosh, in 1 year you've known God, He's been so faithful that you just as well hit the delete button on the 20-some years before you knew Him. Let me say this. You might have been a Christian, but you didn't believe the Word. You are a denominational Christian with very little truth. You can't count the things that went wrong in that time because you lived in unbelief. You're still going to see God's faithfulness. He's faithful even when we're not. But what we've done is we say, we prayed, we tried. I'm telling you this. Do not go by somebody else. Satan will quickly point you to somebody you thought was superstar spiritual who died of cancer. You don't know. First of all, you don't know what God was requiring of them. You don't know what they really believed or what Satan did to them as a child. You don't know anything about what was really going on. Because number one, it's none of your business. So don't judge it, don't touch it. It's none of your business. But it has nothing to do with you and God's word to you. He who has promised is faithful. So the first thing you need to do is spend more time with God. And let me say this. If you have a great relationship with God before the enemy smacks, it sure does help. Because you already have faith. You already know who to turn to. And pretty soon the enemy just learns to quit smacking. Because it always turns around for good. For God and His kingdom. And His people. That's victory. When the devil, when God turns around so good that the devil's going, oh, I should never try that. Why didn't we just leave Norman Depot alone? Why didn't we need him alone? Why did we have to tempt him, have him fall back into sin? Because now he's repented, he's turned it around. Yeah, we took his job, but God just gave him a job that's going to be three times as much as he was making at his other job almost. Hasn't even really missed a paycheck. Turned everything around. The only thing that was holding him up from getting a better job anyway was so afraid to leave the last one. So God thought, well, this is our opportunity. He's followed his sin. Let's take the job. Then he has to start getting in our will. And God's turned it around. Turned it around, answered prayers, bringing victory for everybody involved in less than a week. Hallelujah. Don't give him more than the 5 seconds of victory if he gets that. Turn it around. Rise up. Let God be in charge. Know that all things work together for good to those who love God and called according to his purpose. Period. Period. All things. All things. Wow. All things. So God wants you to be fully persuaded, okay? What I want you to be doing this week, I want you to write down areas where you have unbelief. Get real about it. Okay? I want you to write it down. And I want you to spend time this week praying with other people, get some prayer partners, praying for God to take, like the man said, Lord, help my unbelief. I want you to say, Lord, help my unbelief. Move into fear because some doctrine makes you think you blow it if you're honest with God. Okay? In other words, don't confess. But let me say this. When you speak about your unbelief, speak it in a way where the devil can't use it. Example. When Margaret realizes that because her parents would promise her something and then not follow through, and because of that there's some hurt in her and some unbelief that she can't trust what people in authority say, okay? Instead of her saying, I just don't believe God's going to heal me from this. Or, worse than that, I just know I'm going to die from this. Okay? Or, I know I'm not healed. All right? Those are very negative confessions that Satan can use. All right? But she could say, God, help my unbelief about being healed from this yeast infection or whatever the thing is. Help my unbelief. Because God, I know you're greater than what happened to me in the past when I was healed and it came back. And I know I don't have to fear it coming back once you really take it. And Lord, I understand that when I was healed before, it was really through diet and doctors and those kind of things. And I wasn't really healed. It's just that it stopped it for a season. But Satan used that to put a thinking in my mind that I can never eat what other people can eat and to put me into bondage. And I realize now that when I ate those things that re-triggered this thing, it was never really gone. It was never really healed. It was never brought to the cross. Therefore, that has caused unbelief and fear. I'm afraid to trust you, God, and step out and eat things that even the doctor thinks I could probably eat now. See, talk it out. Work it out. You can talk to God like that. But don't talk. Let me give you a picture that will really help you with confession. There are angels all around you. There are demons around you too. All right? There are power in your words. There are power that releases the angels on behalf of the kingdom of God to bring forth the promises of God. There are demons that wait for you to speak out of fear and negativity to empower them to bring forth the kingdom of darkness. Your words are that important. Now, this ministry has gotten into a very bad habit of saying what we want to say and then saying break the power of it, which is better than not saying that, because what that does is we say something wrong, the devil goes to grab it, we say break the power of it, they're like, darn, break the power. But God would like us to even quit letting their hand get there. And so we've been asking him, help our mouths, Lord, help our mouths, Lord, help us not just to say these things. I mean, we say it, we quickly say, if we don't say break the power, the person beside you does. It's like an automatic, you know, whoop, break power. At least we got these demons going, side tracker, so I can grab the power of it. But God didn't even want him getting that much exercise. He wants him falling asleep bored. This is a horrible post I done, God. They never say nothing that lets me do anything. That's what you want, okay? And you need to know that that's real, that spirit realm is real. That spirit realm is real. That spirit realm is real. And your words are power of life or death. The Bible says so. Life or death is in the power of the tongue. The Bible says so. That's why the Bible says, do not grow weary in good doing or in season, in season you'll reap. Because Satan wants to wear you down so you don't care what you say anymore. You don't care. You're tired. I've heard, I can point to the ones in here who said, well, I'm just so tired. And then you start rambling on. Shut up. If you're tired, then shut up. Put a sock in the tired mouth. And go spend some time in the presence of God until you're not tired anymore. Because Satan knows, if I can wear you down and get you to give me the power, I'm going to whop you with this. And you can't say, oh, darn, I messed up. Excuse me, because I'm not tired now. No, he wants to destroy you. He wants to take you back to your past. He wants to, he's not playing. This is real. These demons are real. They kill people every day. They cause people to do things they wouldn't think they would do. They take Christians into sin. They cause all kinds of affair, adultery. They call all kinds of nasty, horrible stuff. Poverty, losing jobs, all this junk. They're real. Quit helping them out. You don't have the luxury of saying whatever pops into your head. It's going to feed unbelief. It's going to cause Satan to do things, okay? So what I want you to do this week, and we're going to break up, but what I want you to do this week is I want you to take and think of the things where there's unbelief. How do you know if it's unbelief? When it's not unbelief, it's a knowing that you know that you could put your kid's life on it. Most of you don't care about your own lives enough. But you know what I'm saying? That I know that I know that I know. When you get to the point that you know that you know that you know, then you don't have unbelief. And you may be walking things out and God's increasing the power, dealing with other things, because unbelief is not the only spiritual law. Faith is not the only spiritual law. There's a lot of spiritual laws. So the Holy Spirit may take you on a journey to deal with other issues. But the first thing you need to deal with is unbelief. Because he can give nothing to someone who won't believe. He can give nothing to double-mindedness. What's double-mindedness? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I really do believe your word. I really do believe your word. But last time, or this person died, or that didn't happen, or I cried out to you before. That's double-mindedness. Satan loves that. Ha, ha, ha. It's great you have the mind that agrees with God, but isn't it something that if you have the mind that agrees with God, just countering that cancels out the power of agreement with God? And that's another powerful tape, agreement with the Son. It's just powerful. So anyway, and that's basically all it is about unbelief. You know, it's not a spirit. I don't see where it's a spirit. It talks about unclean spirit, wicked spirit, evil spirits. It talks about haughty spirit. Pride's not a spirit either. You know, if these things were all spirit, it'd be a lot easier. We just line up, cast them all out, and get on with our Christian life. But they're not. They're not spirits in the Word of God. There's no such thing as a spirit of rejection, according to this. Oh, there is the result of being rejected and what the enemy does with that, and we've got teaching on that. There's self-rejection. There's the enemy who attacks you to cause you to reject yourself. And I don't care whether people call it, the Bible says don't argue over words, but I'm just saying, I checked it one time. There's in the Bible, there's evil spirit, foul spirit, unclean spirit, haughty spirit. That's almost all of them. There wasn't that many. So all of them are devils and they're evil. Hello. You know, and so, but some things cannot be just cast out. Some things are mindset that has to be changed. And what is it? What's a mindset that has to be changed? It's called a stronghold. It's a lie that you believe. Look how powerful you are in this. I'm serious. You are very powerful in what happens in your life. Because it's by what you believe, who you are agreement with, that determines everything about your life. If I don't agree with God and his word that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and paid for my sin, then guess what? What he did doesn't pay for my sin. It only pays for my sin when I agree with him. Otherwise, when he died, nobody could go to hell anymore. So your free will choice to use your mind to come in agreement with God is very powerful. That's why you cannot read too much of the word. You cannot get too much of the word in you. I'm telling you something. You need to read this more than all the books and tapes. And if somebody's going word for word from the Bible or really preaches the Bible, every word out of their mouth is the Bible, fine, because you're basically hearing the anointing of the Word of God coming through somebody God's anointed. But you need to be careful, because a lot of what's out there, and I'm not being, is fluff. I look it all up. I mean, there are books out there where they do entire series that they can't give you but one tiny scripture that has anything to do with it, and then it's kind of exaggerated. And I'm not going to say all that, but I think it's Christian entertainment to stop us from getting what's real. How can you be bored with this? We are not living victorious enough lives to even begin to pretend that we can be bored with this. That is just something the devil's bringing forth, this distraction, and I call it Christian entertainment. I don't need to be entertained as a Christian. I need to rise up and die to self and let the Holy Spirit do his work on this planet using me and setting people free and get rid of my social club, live a normal worldly life and call myself okay, Christianity. People are dying and we're afraid of them. We're afraid of most of the people he wants us to go and help. We got to get past that fear. And that's only to get his heart. I got to know that I can bind up a spirit, an evil spirit that produces violence in somebody. I can bind that sucker up. And he absolutely cannot shoot me, cut my throat, rape me, or anything else. Unless God allows it to, for his purposes, which is very rare. It's going to be for persecution, for righteousness' sake. That is allowed. God told those people when they were going to die for that. In America, it doesn't happen much. It happens every now and then. Benny Hinn talked about a friend he had that had to go back to gangs. And the Holy Spirit came and told him, guy moved a mighty power. And he said, you're going to go into this gang and they're going to kill you. But I'm going to bring from that seed revival there. And that's what happened. And he didn't care. He thought dying for God was cool. But that's not why most of us are being messed with. Most of us aren't bold enough to make the devil mad enough to even care about killing us. Our own mouths are taking care of it. All right? And so that's what I really want you to really think. Don't think you don't have areas of unbelief. Like, I know for me, I really do believe God about paying for this building and these bills. But when I look at how humongous it is, you know, fear tries to come in there. And I really purposely don't think about, you know, anything where God didn't prosper people. And I just keep asking God, help my unbelief. And even last night when I prayed that, he turned me right to the scripture in Psalms that said, blessed are those who take care of the poor and the needy, and I will prosper them. He gave me an answer. You know, that gets rid of unbelief. Do you get that? That rhema word gets rid of unbelief, because I'm saying, okay, well, that's what I'm doing. Because I know I know God's not going to pull the rug out from under me and say, ha, 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 doesn't I make you look bad? Boo, you know, woo-hoo, lose everything. He's not like that. He wants us to succeed to help people more than I do. But I also know that I could miss it in areas that opens a way for the enemy to come in and attack. And so my prayer is, Lord, create within me a clean, you know, a pure heart and clean hands. God, reveal in me any wicked way and reveal in me anything that Satan could use to stop what you're doing here and what you've given me. That's my kind of prayer. And I'm open to hear, because I could be messed up in places. And we are going to finish the thing on scorning next week, by the way. We didn't get there tonight either. But there's so much. But anyway, but with that, I know I have to hear and see, because he might show me things, and he does show me things that I have to hate or repent of or get the unbelief out. But the cool thing is, when he shows you those things, guess what it does? It causes you to be fully persuaded that he who is promised is going to do what he's promised. God, you promised me that you were going to pay for this building. This was your idea, not mine. And so when I cry out, Lord, you know, help my unbelief. Lord, help me know that I'm in your will. And he gives me a scripture on helping the poor. Then I automatically, Lord, that's what we're doing. That's what we're going to continue to do. God, that's the heart of you. Help me do it more. Give me more creative ways to do it. Help me to do it. You know, help our food pantry to grow. Lord, send more people. Show us how to get these clothes to the homeless. Lord, you be in charge of this. It's all yours, but we're going to do that. But see, that takes away when Satan goes, oh, you only had a few people there tonight. How are you going to pay that bill? And that's what I say. You don't get it, devil. First of all, it's none of your business to talk to me, but just so I can put it in your face anyway, because I'm not afraid of you, let me tell you this. God said to me in his word that if I bless the poor, he's going to pay every bill. It doesn't matter if nobody sits in those seats. It doesn't matter if every tither runs down the street and gives their money to a conference or whatever. I don't care. I don't own the people, and the people don't pay the way. You do, God. But he told me for me that if I bless the poor, he's going to keep the door open. There ain't nothing, devil, you can do to stop me from blessing the poor. So, Lord, give me more ways to bless the poor. Give me more food to give out. Let people come in there. Let us give it away. Do what you want. Devil, you can't stop the resources of God coming into this kingdom, because it's not based on man pleasing. It's not based on marketing. It's based on God and his word and what he's calling me to do, that he will keep the doors open for his glory. And all he tells me every time I ask is take care of the poor.